This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. Oh, there it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to feed you some football NFL Lunch style. Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. About a month away from the draft. Owners' meetings coming up this weekend into early next week. And here to talk about that and more from Pro Football Talk, he is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Miles Simmons. Miles, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
No problem, guys. Happy to be here.
All right, let's talk about those Ravens, right? And, you know, we've got high expectations for the local teams. Got the Terps in the Sweet 16. Orioles expected to be good. But for the Ravens, their expectations are Super Bowl or bust. And we were talking earlier about the AFC North on paper, at least on March 24th. Ravens won the division by two games last year. I would think they've maybe extended that advantage based on the talent pool that they have. What does Miles Simmons think about Baltimore and their big advantage, air quotes, over the rest of the division right now?
I don't know that I would call it a quote-unquote big advantage. I think that the Bengals actually retaining Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Mike Gesicki actually sets them up pretty well offensively for next year. We'll see what happens with Trey Hendrickson, but I think as long as you have Joe Burrow and he's healthy, and maybe, you know, if the kicker is a little bit more reliable, then that team is still going to be a threat. I don't know how much Aaron Rodgers would make the Steelers a threat. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I work with Mike Florio, obviously, at Pro Football Talk, and he posted something, you know, that you guys can go read if you want at ProFootballTalk.com that said the Steelers fans should embrace Aaron Rodgers. And for me, it's like, golly, man. I don't think he's good enough anymore to just tolerate all the, you know, headaches, let's call them, that come with him. So, but unfortunately he is the Steelers' best option right now, but I don't think that even with DK Metcalf and all that, that really makes them that much of a threat than they've been over the last couple of years. And they're still going to be good. And obviously, you know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore are going to tussle and who knows how those games are going to end up. But I think to say that the Ravens are Super Bowl or bust, like, yeah, that still feels right because you have Lamar Jackson, because you have guys like Kyle Hamilton on defense. And when you are built the way that they're built, like, they need to keep winning. And so, yeah, I don't think that it's an unfair expectation to have, But I also don't think that their advantage over the rest of the AFC North is all that great. And you notice I didn't mention Cleveland in that, and, well, you guys understand why.
No, yeah, we definitely do. You know, they enough said, you know, on Cleveland. But with Cincinnati, who's playing defense for them?
No, and that's the issue, right? I mean, how much was last year a Lou Anarumo's scheme is getting a little bit stale issue versus, you know, okay, and you bring in Al Golden, and he's their defensive coordinator now, and he obviously did a great job at Notre Dame, but, you know, and he's been with Cincinnati before, but how much is that really going to revamp things versus, okay, can you bring in pieces that are going to be on defense that can help complement a guy in Trey Hendrickson, right, who led the league in sacks last year? And, I mean, just how rare is it when you have a team that has a quarterback that, you know, honestly is playing at about an MVP level, right? You have somebody who could have been offensive player of the year, Jamar Chase, triple crown winner. And then also you got Trey Hendrickson leading the league in sacks. Like, that team should have been better than it was. So in my mind, it's like, all right, do you have the pieces on defense and the scheme needs to improve? Because I think that could be their solution. And I don't know that that makes them better than the Ravens, but I think it makes them at least more competitive with everybody else.
Now, Miles, the owners' meeting's next week. Is there going to be any fireworks and, you know, rule changes? I'm guessing everything will get tabled till May, which normally does.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I just go back to, I'm looking at some of those things, and I'm a nerd, so I love reading all the rules proposals and, like, going through them and, like, what they would mean, what they won't mean. The one that, like, gets on my nerves, and I maybe it's because I'm too old school, I don't know. But why are we talking about, you know, eliminating a home playoff game for winning your division? Like, why even have divisions at all at that point? Winning your division should mean something. The way that the schedule is set up, right, where you play each team in your division twice, everybody has an opportunity to win their division. And it can be a bad division one year, and it can be a great division another year. To me, it doesn't matter. Everybody has that opportunity. And what I find kind of the most interesting about it is that it was Detroit that proposed this when they won their division, right? And it was Minnesota that lost and then had to go on the road and ended up being in Arizona, and they lose to the Los Angeles Rams in that playoff game. But I don't know. To me, if you are going to say, all right, you know, we should eliminate, you know, all of the division winning perks, then, like, why do we have divisions? Then it becomes basketball. I don't think that the NFL should be like that. I think that winning your division ought to mean something, and let's keep it that way. So that's one that I hope doesn't necessarily get tabled. I hope it gets taken off altogether, because we don't need to do that.
Hey, Miles, what do you think a Derrick Henry extension will look like?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, because he's older than Saquon Barkley, I don't necessarily think that he would get as much money as Saquon Barkley. But I think that would kind of be the framework. And, you know, it was interesting listening to Eric Acosta at the scouting combine, and, you know, he was talking about how there was an assistant that was in the crowd. I was a presser, and, you know, she is going to set up a picture of Derrick Henry in his office. What do you think that means when it comes to an extension? And it's like, man, well, you know, we're trying to quote you here. So, like, that doesn't really tell us very much of anything explicitly. But, I mean, obviously Derrick Henry was so great in this last season. And, you know, pairing him with Lamar Jackson worked, I think, about as well as everybody expected. You just, especially in short yardage situations, it is absolute hell for defense. So that being said, and Derrick Henry, you know, being on the other side of 30, he's older, he has a lot of miles, not just from being in the National Football League, but also going back to his time at Alabama. I can see 2 years, you know, I think that would make sense, where it's kind of like a 1+1, you know, one and we'll see. And money, not as much as Saquon, but the framework, I think, would probably be a little bit similar.
Now, Miles, when do you anticipate the second quarterback in the draft going?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Number 2 overall.
Oh, do
because
you really?
You know, it's interesting. Like, the Titans seem like they have to pick Cam Ward. Like, they need something to give their franchise a little bit of juice. And, I mean, if you're the Browns, I don't know what else you can do given the contract situation that you've created with Deshaun Watson, right? And I don't necessarily think that that means Shedeur Sanders is, you know, the second best player in the draft. But I do tend to think that the Browns understand that if they're going to get out of where they're at, you know, and get out of the basement, they need somebody at quarterback. And that even though Abdul Carter would be really, really good, yes, as a freak of nature, especially opposite Myles Garrett, right? Like, that would be really scary.
Double digit sacks. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that presents a lot of challenges for defenses. But, I mean, if you can't score, then what are we going to do? I mean, like, this is – you're still in a division with Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, right? You're still in a conference with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And there are other guys in there that are up and coming. But I think that if the Browns have any sort of belief that Shedeur Sanders can become a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, then that's the guy that they're going to have to pick at 2 overall.
Miles Simmons, what's happening at ProFootballTalk.com here on this Monday?
We have all kinds of stuff going on in the league. I mentioned Mike Florio's got something on Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. I am just about to write something on the Patriots matching an offer sheet for a linebacker for restricted free agents. It's a little bit slower this week, which, you know, I'm not that mad about. But, of course, as I say that, that's when breaking news will happen. And so, of course, if there is breaking NFL news, you can check it out at ProFootballTalk.com.
Miles, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, Miles.
All right. All right, take care, guys.
There's Miles Simmons, everybody. Say Cleveland sucks. Not telling us anything we don't know, quite frankly. You know what doesn't suck? Buzzer beaters for your home team. And that was Maryland. We'll get back to the NCAA tournament talk. Give you the Oriole lineup right now in rain delay down at D.C. against the Nats as we're wrapping up spring training. And then Evan Washburn will talk about the first weekend plus of the NCAA tournament. Down to 16. No Cinderellas. Is that a big deal?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
But Arkansas 10 seed stunned the number two Johnnies. who were in Maryland's region, or would have been. Now they're gonzo. Now Arkansas gets Texas Tech as Maryland gets Florida. So we'll talk about that and more with Evan Washburn. And how much did the Kevin Willard news resonate throughout Providence as he was popping off about monies and outgoing athletic director Damon Evans? Before we get to the Oriole lineup, talk about the team the way it's situated right now. As you heard, Pete Caldera still thinks the Yankees are the team to beat. All subject to change, of course. When it was going down last week, the Damon news, wasn't he supposed to come on?
Yes, he was coming on our show that day.
Because I got a text, unnamed person, Nolan, said, was Damon supposed to come on today? And he canceled.
I texted you that.
No, it was someone else.
Oh.
And I said, well, I'm off this week, and they could have Michael Jordan on. I've got other things going on at this point in time. So I have no idea, but it was Thursday. And I said, he usually comes on Wednesday. So I don't know if there was a schedule change, but come to find out, obviously, Nolan, he did put up the old cancel, stamp the old cancel ticket on us.
Yeah, who knows what's true anymore? But I mean, he's not here anymore. So, you know, we have to bite our tongue on anything. But I mean, yeah, he usually comes on Wednesdays. But they told us they were flying out to the West Coast on Wednesday. So, hey, no problem.
Right.
We'll do Thursday morning. They're all about it. It was like an hour before the show started, maybe even less than that, like 9:15, 9:30 in the morning. Texted in, hey, sorry, last second, got to cancel here. And this was when there were light rumblings, but it was a little more focused on Willard at the time and him potentially taking the Villanova job. Mm-hmm. And then the SMU Damon Evans stuff, it was very quiet. But within that first couple hours of the show and then with the canceling, I mean, it just reached a crescendo. And then that afternoon, Willard's like, well, I'll announce it for him. I'm not going to wait for an official announcement here. I'll just let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, and that's what the text said, look for him to go to SMU. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't hear anything about that. Not that they consult with me, by the way, what Damon Evans' plans are. But I was like, that's...
Well, you know what was
timing sucked was, is how I looked at it.
Didn't like, Dustin really? Text you the day before, said that Damon's flying out with the team. That's why he couldn't come on Wednesday with us. And then we find out Damon wasn't on the team flight, you know?
Well, that I,
what team was he going with? The Mavericks?
I know. I don't know if he was or wasn't on the flight or not.
Yeah, he was not.
Okay. I never got that information, but all I know is they canceled.
Okay. Yeah. But look, we did the show with Damon for 3 years. An enjoyable guy. And I had no problem with him personally. I just found it interesting that we did the show with him for 3 years and he never addressed either one of us by name. He never said, hey, Bob, hey, Vinny. Never. Guys. Hey, guys. That have got to be brother. And then his musical selections got a little rogue there, but it is what it is. But he goes to Dallas, SMU, now in the ACC. Football heavy. Tons of money surrounding that program. They had a good year basketball-wise, didn't get in, got kind of snubbed, I guess, because the ACC was down. But, you know, fundraising here left a lot to be desired, let's be honest. I mean, Kevin Willard pretty much addressed that fact. And Mike Locksley told us he'd rather have the NIL money than build the Cole Fieldhouse football facilities. And, yeah, you need to have facilities that keep up with the Joneses. But we get it. Bottom line is you can take a recruit or a portal guy into all the best fancy facilities in the world. Hey, look at this state-of-the-art gym and the state-of-the-art courts and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's great. Where's the bag of money?
That's because exactly
that,
right.
Are you going to set it next to that new Nautilus machine that you have? So we'll see who the new AD will be. And what they're going to be able to do to generate revenue. But you've got a pissed off basketball coach who made it perfectly clear that he wasn't signing an extension because he didn't like the way things were going within the program. And there have been whispers that he has been unhappy for over a year with the allocation of whatever NIL funds there are. And he mentioned in the Athletic article, Kevin Willard, Hakeem Hart specifically leaving to go to Villanova last year. It's like, well, what's in our budget? Quite frankly, there wasn't really much of a budget at all. And Damon was on this show, basically like with the Salvation Army bell and a bucket begging for money because they had been so far behind the curve. And let's be honest, from a football perspective, they're never going to be able to generate the dough that Penn State or Michigan, Ohio State, even Michigan State, Iowa, Nebraska. I mean, they're never going to compete with that. But basketball-wise, hell yeah.
I remember we had Locks on, and Locks says, I do it myself, NIL, my fundraising. I do it myself because I'm sure they weren't getting anything from the university. So, yeah, it was that makes it really interesting. And, Bob, until Villanova hires a guy.
We'll see. Yeah. Locksley makes, what, $2 million more annually, I believe, than Kevin Willard does. So he's got leverage right now, even if they lose Thursday night. We'll see what happens with the AD and if he gets what he wants out of this basketball program. Because I've been telling you, Vinny, for years, the Sleeping Giants, Merrill. Because it's always been. It's football, whether it's the Colts or Ravens, Orioles, Terps, basketball. They're the big three. Always have been, always will be when it comes to fan interest and generating the dough. Can Willard get the dough he wants generated to keep this program at or near the top of the Big Ten? Because this has been, by all accounts, a successful season. And we'll see if, as Derek Queen said post-game, if Willard could keep this Baltimore recruiting momentum rolling too. Their two best players are from Baltimore. You'd like to have that kind of be a commonplace thing.
Well, yeah, and I think the thing that you were saying earlier, Bob, I mean, like with Queen, you can come to Maryland, be a top 10 draft pick, you know, and be from here, yeah, you know. So.
And play in the tournament literally every single season. We'll talk more college hoops. Evan Washburn from CBS, he was in Providence, but obviously we talk about the big dance minus Cinderella's. Colorado State looked like they were going to be one. Then there weren't. And then a Funhouse trip. We haven't been to a Funhouse yet with Nolan McGraw. Stick around for that. To talk about that and more in what's been always a wacky first weekend of March Madness from CBS Sports. He was in Providence where Patino and Calipari renewed pleasantries. And we'll get to that in a second on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Evan Washburn. Evan, good afternoon. What is happening?
Not much. Just getting ready for week two here. Good to be with you guys.
All right, let's talk about Derek Queen's game winner. And, of course, in the body of networks, and it was, what, TBS last night, you know, they show the four buzzer-beating losses that Maryland endured right before Colorado State came out and buried the three. Luckily, time left. Queen gets the ball, wants the ball. Willard gets it to him. How big was that? For not necessarily him personally, because he's already projected to be a first-round draft pick, if not a lottery pick, but for the program, given the drama of the week, which we'll get to here in a second. They hadn't been to the Sweet 16 in 9 years. They exceeded expectations all season long. For them, just to get over that hump means what, maybe, big picture-wise?
Yeah, it's huge. It re-engages. I mean, they've always had a strong support and fan base, both locally with the student body, but I think it brings the fringe back, and I would fall into that category. I mean, I do this for a living, so I'm covering games that I'm assigned, but I don't watch as much college basketball as I did growing up, and I haven't followed Maryland probably as intently as you did growing up, and I do think that making a deep run in March kind of gets you back in the mix. There's a lot of reasons for maybe some of the apathy from the fan base, but I think when you can have those moments like last night, and even watching that game with my 9-year-old son, I mean, he was into it. And it's not like he's been living and dying by Maryland results, but he was pumped when they hit a game winner, and that's exciting. That's now a memory for him, and I feel like that's probably the case for a lot of the younger generation that didn't get to have what we had in the early 2000s.
Now, we got the buzzer beater, first true one of the tournament, but Willard, the press conference about the NIL money or lack thereof for the basketball program, Damon Evans' eventual departure for SMU. You were in Providence where Will Wade admitted he had talked to NC State about the job, and he leaves McNace to actually take that thing. How surprising was it that the coaching stuff off the court was kind of the big story of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, not the actual games themselves?
Yeah, I think it's just part of a period of time we're living in where we're part of the beta testing in the early stages of a real seismic shift in college sports. And I think it's natural for us as fans, media members, folks covering the sport. I think we get a little precious or a little concerned, if you will, by things that are just different. We don't like change often, and this is the new world. And not to say all of it is good and all of it will stay, but I was really struck by, and I can only speak to the Will Wade situation, because speaking with Will Wade, with his players, being around that team over the course of 3 days, their level of transparency with one another I found really refreshing. I mean, it's players talking to Will and his staff about who's reaching out to them, about potential portal options and money in the portal, all those things. And he's doing the same with his players about what's happening with NC State. We always preach authenticity and honesty, and sometimes I think when we get it, we're a little uneasy with it. So I think, and again, I wasn't really living and breathing the Kevin Willard situation because I can only focus on my site and my eight teams, but I felt there was a little bit of that there too. It's like, you guys want to know what's happening? Here's what's happening. So you can't really get uncomfortable if you're going to get the truth.
All right, staying in Providence, Arkansas, the 10th seed. They make the run to the Sweet 16, beat Kansas in the first round, then upset number 2, St. John's. We talked a lot watching the game, of course, watching your coverage of the Calipari-Pitino relationship that goes back many, many years. But Pitino taking some serious heat for his roster shuffling, or the way he was running the team, you know, benching his best player. He wasn't having a great game, let's be honest there. But the criticism of Rick Pitino justified.
I mean, look, criticism is part of the job, and I think everyone's got their opinion. Even our analyst, Steve Lapis, who coached in the Big East and has known Rick Pitino for a very long time, had his opinion that if he was in that position, he would, despite his best player having a really poor game, have had him play down the stretch in hopes that something would have happened. I always fall on the side of, I don't live and I'm not with these guys every day. So clearly, Rick Pitino saw something in RJ Lewis that he did not like, whether it was body language, performance, who knows. And he didn't feel comfortable, because there's no part of me that doesn't believe Rick Pitino wanted every option to win that game. He's about as competitive as they come. So he thought he had a better option by playing whoever he had stepping in for RJ. So I get it. It's unique. It's rare to see. But I again, usually defer to a head coach in that situation.
Evan Washburn, CBS Sports, joining us here. Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato on this Monday. Now for Calipari, he's been to three different schools, to Final Fours, won a national championship. But on a satisfaction level, what do you think that win meant to him on Saturday afternoon?
That's interesting. He was using the word rewarding for just what this year and this run has been like with Arkansas. So I think probably somewhere in that realm. I can't imagine it rivals or has found its way into the category of Final Fours or national championships. But this is unexpected, and those are often the ones that are the most fun. So I think that's the perception I got from the outside, just being around Cal and that team. They're just having a whole lot of fun, because starting the conference season 0-5, the injuries they've had to deal with, no one, including anyone in that locker room, really saw this coming, but now they're here, and they're dangerous, man. They are so long, so athletic, so fast. And that team, and they might get back their best player in a Adu Thiro this week too. So I would look out for Arkansas for sure.
Hey, Evan, what was the matter with Kansas? I'm sure you got to spend some time with them. Was, you know, because on TV you hear like chemistry or whatever. What was their problem?
I think Hunter Dickinson just he wasn't able to meet the expectations or even his own standard that he set when he was an All-American at Michigan and at times at KU. I mean, they needed him to be a player of the year type player this season. They built this roster, they built this team around Hunter Dickinson, and I just don't ever think that standard was met. And Bill Self's an incredible coach, and I think he got as much as he could out of this team. But I think you're going to see this more and more, Vinny, in this new era of roster management in college basketball, and probably college sports in general. But there's going to be fluctuation. It's going to be more roller coaster, because these guys are making decisions in quote-unquote free agency with very little information beyond what they see on tape. It's been described to us as it's like speed dating once they hit that portal. So some of those decisions click and you add three guys to your roster, or shoot, you add five and it's awesome and you're making a run in March, or you add two or three and it's like, ooh, good guys, but maybe not what we thought we were getting. Who knows? So I think the variance is going to increase and become more the norm.
Now, Evan, your favorite moment from either Self, Calipari, or Patino, who gave you the best?
Oh, man, it's hard to choose. I always say Cal is so fun to cover. I mean, he's challenging in a lot of ways because he's a moving target. Even when you're just having a conversation off camera, it's hard to keep him basically locked into maybe what you think you want to know more about. But when the red light comes on in an interview setting, he always delivers. So I would say, honestly, any interaction with him was great. Post game was a lot of fun after that, the second round game, the win over Patino and St. John's. That game, guys, I mean, this is my 11th tournament. And look, the NCAA tournament's awesome, but the environments sometimes can leave you wanting more just because, look, if you're a random site and there's eight teams there, so it's eight fan bases. St. John's and Arkansas and Providence was awesome. I mean, Spike Lee's in the house. It was rocking. So I would just say that game in general was the best memory and honestly one of the better games I've been a part of in college basketball.
Evan, real quick for you, no Cinderellas in the Sweet 16. Is that a good or bad thing for college hoops?
I would like one. I like one, maybe two, to be in there, be in the mix. You know, I had Drake made a run. I just covered the Mountain West tournament, so I was kind of pulling through New Mexico a little bit. I like Richard Pitino. But I think for the common fan, it's probably better. Like, we always love the Cinderellas, and then if you get too many of them, then you get these random games that people have a hard time kind of wrapping their head around to park on the couch for. So I think it ends up working out like this, but I could have gone for maybe one or two.
Evan Washburn, CBS Sports. Evan, appreciate the time. Enjoy the next round, Sweet 16, Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. Hopefully Maryland goes to San Antonio. That would be a cool thing to cover as well.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Have a good one.
You got
thanks,
it.
Evan
Washburn. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan Funhouse. Trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Howard in Baltimore, who says that was the quote of the year from the freshman of the year for Maryland. Give me the MF ball. I love it. Goes on to say here, Colorado State gave Maryland all that they could handle, but true champions find a way to win when they're not playing their best. Finally, Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater. Proud of the Terps. Looking forward to Thursday.
Degree of difficulty for that shot was incredible. Oof. All right, he may or may not have taken an extra step. I'm not the official, but as we said earlier, after they got away with the elbow in the first half, which should have been an ejection at the very least, a flagrant one, all bets were off when it came to the officiating. I mean, and who were we talking to earlier about Gillespie? Charles Walker. He gets all sorts of contact in the paint and doesn't get the whistle most of the time. So it is what it is. Survive in advance.
Yeah. Speaking of the ref's impact here, this texter says, not as big into basketball anymore, so I don't know how traveling is treated across the country or in the pros for that matter. But if the goal is to just be consistent with no calls, that's fine. But it was 100% a travel. I just don't know how that call is looked at in the sport in general, but objectively a travel.
Gene Steratore explained at halftime of the Oregon-Arizona game it was not a travel. And he's the rules analyst. NFL and NCAA said Queen never really fully stopped his dribble. The ball was moving, hence not the extra step. You want to whine about traveling, watch an NBA game, see how that works out for you.
Could you imagine, though, if
or
that
three
ref,
seconds, that's another
if he
thing.
Makes the shot, Bob, and then he calls traveling? Oh, my God.
I think we're all flying to to wherever the hell they were.
More on the refs here, this texter says. Besides the missed flagrant, There's another clearly obvious error at the end of the first half. Gillespie scoring with about 41 seconds left. Colorado State intentionally stalling to eliminate the opportunity for a 2-for-1. Gillespie tried pointing it out to the refs. Obviously didn't care. It's garbage officiating. They were horrible the entire game. Glad the Terps survived. They deserved it.
And by the way, and look, as I've said many times over the years doing this for a living, I'll rag on refs that are umpires any day. Got no problem doing so. But Evan Washburn was in Providence. The officiating in the St. John's, Arkansas game was under big-time scrutiny for some of the calls that were not made there. And old Danny Hurley was not happy with the whistleblowers in his game against Florida yesterday either. But, I mean, he's like the guy that cries wolf at this state. He complains about everything.
And last one here says Maryland will not be able to survive another slow start against Florida the way they did in these past two games. Defense was enough to hold those lesser quality teams down to Maryland's level, but Florida on a whole different stratosphere. Three-point shooting will have to be the difference if the Terps pull off the upset.
Yeah, and Maryland only had six turnovers. It's not like they're turning the ball over a ton. They're just not shooting it well. And for the third game, like you just said, Texter said, we can't hear Maryland's guards are going to have to match the big men. The guards are going to have to come to play from the opening tip, or it could be puffy pants. You fall behind 12, and it's a game of runs, but 12 to Florida, it's not going to be as easy to overcome as it was against Colorado State last night. But they won, and that's all that matters. And we'll complain about Thursday's game, you know, when they play it on Thursday night, 7:39. Boy, Friday should be fun. If the Orioles get blown out and Eflin gets rocked and Maryland loses to Florida, yeah, Friday will be a fun show. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.